Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for chat and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League and the Europa League as well. I'm Robbie Musto, with me as ever, Robbie Earle. And here are, Rob, today's topics. Romelu Lukaku's dream Chelsea start against an underwhelming Arsenal at the Emirates. Nuno returns to Wolves. Kane returns to the squad and Spurs return to winning ways. Speaking of Kane, no striker issues for Manchester City in their easy victory over Norwich. Man United stumbling at St Mary's and Liverpool with another clean sheet and 3 points over Burnley. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, my friend. You had a little, nice little weekend off. I'm sure
you're chomping
at the bit.
Lovely, you're
fired
thank
up
you.
Because you haven't been lovely, on air thanks. And you've managed to watch all the big games, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's start with the biggest game of the weekend, Rob. Arsenal 0, Chelsea 2, Lukaku and Reece James with the goals. Again, it's not long since the game's finished. Wow. I mean, Arsenal up against it. We knew that. And Chelsea started with Romelu Lukaku. But I'll stop there, mate. You give me your kind of main thoughts from wherever you want to start.
Two huge capital football clubs on different planets, Robbie Mustard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going for different things in different ways. And number of points to hit. I think the most striking point I can say that illustrates where we can start a conversation is that Arsenal Football Club, the great Arsenal Football Club, started with in their striker position, Gabriel Martinelli. The great Chelsea Football Club that's been successful, whether we like it or not, changes managers, rotates players, but delivers trophies, starts with the great Romelu Lukaku. Right there, Rob, is the difference of where the two teams are and where maybe we have to be reluctant to admit that Arsenal, and not in any kind of challenge, will be challenged to make top six. And I read something interesting today that some fan was saying, you know what, with Arteta, we just got to give him his time and see how we go. And it might be the next manager who gets the benefit of Arteta's work and signings, that they can't buy a plug-in and play Lukaku. because they're not in Europe, because they haven't got the money and they don't get the backing. So they've got to go a different route. So maybe the route that they're going is in a couple of years, and if Arteta does or doesn't see that out, we might start to see a competitive Arsenal. But right now, they're being left behind.
The only thing I'd say, Rob, about your first comment there, and I get that, and all clubs have injuries. They do have two of their star strikers, experienced strikers, Rob, and Aubameyang and Lacazette out right now. And Arteta said afterwards in an interview, I think, to the radio, that they've got nine players out. I am struggling a little bit to count nine.
Yeah, who
are they? For me, it is, you know, we should mention that probably like no other club, they've got a lot of issues with COVID. People are, you know, and injuries, probably more than others. I mean, if they've all got it, Pulisic for Chelsea, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But I think they're a little bit worse off. But I think your point is well taken, Rob. This is the new reality for Arsenal. Mm. To be fair, finally, the club are really backing the manager with some new signings and some new funds and some new money. They've spent the most of any Premier League side in the window. And they've gone down a road that me and Tim kind of argued a little bit today about it. And I'm like, there's so many new players needed, Rob. Isn't that the way to go with under-23s? That there's five new players. They're all 23 years of age and younger, Rob. And like you said, it's going to take a few years for these guys to develop. But I, at least given the new reality, this isn't Arsenal now that can go and buy Jack Grealish or anybody else that comes up. It's different. And that's a conversation for another day with ownership and everything, you know, stadiums and everything else. But I think the Arsenal fans... The couple that I've spoke to are like, you know what? This is what it is right now.
Yeah.
We're buying some young talent, and some of it might not work out, but some of it might. And Chelsea, you're absolutely right. But in 2 years, Rob, they've gone from, you know, a young squad with Frank Lampard, expectations were really low, to like, wow, like they got a great chance of winning the title. And the young players have benefited, the Reece Jameses and the Mason Mounts and other players that have played have benefited from those years. And that Arsenal fans will hope will happen to them. I guess not in such a quick, dramatic fashion from not really close to being title contenders. And they did get in the top four with those young players. So I get how difficult it is. The thing that I thought, Rob, and I'm going to move it forward right now, is what surprised me today. I think we said in our last podcast that my concern would be Arteta's kind of man management, you know, because the rest of it, you know, he's a smart coach and he's, you know, he's a thinker and he's been at Man City with Pep. Were you surprised how tactically destroyed they were today from a Chelsea side? There's no surprises. And I think that our boys in commentary and myself in the studio, I'm like, what is going on? Like, this isn't normal that Reece James has half the field to create and score a goal. That surprised me, Rob. What about you in terms of the game plan and the tactical side of it?
It's a good point. I'm glad we've got there. So, and I agree. Listen, I was just making the point, when you look at two team sheets today, of course Lacazette, of course Aubameyang, of course Thomas Partey, we've not seen enough of, make a big difference when they're in that time. And I get that. And that's why he's got to be given time, and the Odegaards and all those people, and Sackers and Smith Rowe are for the time. But you're right. Let's get to the tactic. There's some things in which there's an argument for Arteta. There's some things, Rob, and I went today and I said, Mikel Arteta today reminded me a little bit of Frank Lampard at the start of last season. In-game tactics, not good enough.
Yeah.
In-game tactics we try and be objective with our criticism. Does the speed... I was trying to put myself in his position and thinking, why is he not seeing this, or why is he not doing it? Do you get so caught up in the game, Rob, when you're standing down there that you don't see things? Is the game so quick that it's happening? Does he need somebody sitting upstairs who's going, we're getting hurt down the left, boss, we need to do some... I don't know, but it surprised me. It's in-game tactical nous didn't recognise that they had to adjust and deal with Reece James down that side with Saka and Tierney. Now, I'm going to go down that road for Arteta. I think somebody else brought a comment, and another thought that came to my mind is, and of course Arteta has to be that guy. I've got to tell you, Rob, if I'm Kieran Tierney and I'm left back and I'm getting done like that, by the way, Saka, you're a young lad, you don't know what you're doing. Come here. Sit next to me because I'm getting done here. You take him, I'll take him. Players can do that as well, Rob. And I don't know if there's enough Arsenal players who go, hold on, we're getting done. Even if the manager doesn't tell me, even at half-time that I go and the manager goes, what are you bringing Saka back so much for? I say, listen, Gaffer, I'm getting done two B1 down this side. I don't see that happening at Arsenal because I don't think they've got the players who do that. I think Arsenal players are at full stretch to just deal with their own game in their own little space and aren't in that way. And I'm not talking about leaders and all that, which people keep on, you know, change. But sometimes that's just football now, Rob. I'm not going to get exposed like that. But Kaya Saku can play on the left side. Come over to the left, mate, and help me out.
The biggest rollicking I ever got, I was a young pro. I just made the Oxford United first team. And the first team had a player called Bobby McDonald. Remember
yeah,
him?
Remember
him.
Tough, aggressive left back. Yeah.
Tough, aggressive. Mm. He was playing left back. I was playing left side of midfield. Mm. And he was getting a bit of a tough time in this game at home with our fans at the Manor Ground. And he turned round and he gave me the biggest hammering because we're on the outside, right in front of the fans. You get back here and help me out. What do you think you're doing? And look. And from that day, God, that was almost like the biggest lesson I had. Mm. And forever after that, I considered other players and I thought about other players immediately. Yeah. And I, of course, that didn't happen today. It's just like the disconnect between Saka and Kieran Tierney was such a big gap. I'm like, of course, in the studio, Rob, we have the benefit of these big old screens with this tactical look.
Yeah.
And you can see it. And we're like saying the gap is huge. And look at the space. I think, to be fair, right, there was one of the goals where Kieran Tierney came inside and forward and got caught out.
Yeah.
So that would have been Reece James's goal.
Yeah,
when he scored, not when he crossed for the second goal.
Yeah, he gets caught,
I thought that was an individual decision. But back to the coaching side of it, how much space there was between the lines? The first thing, we've both done our coaching badges, right, on the UEFA level. Mm. And the first thing they say in general is when your team hasn't got the ball, you come tight, you become compact. When you have the ball, then you spread out to create the space. Mm. And that was something that just shocked me. Now, and I'll throw it another way back to you, Rob. Did Mikel Arteta think that, you know what, we're a different system. We play different ways. Let's go for it. Let's go toe-to-toe with them. If we get our football going, they'll have a problem. And yet, this is kind of a good Chelsea team to have that philosophy, Rob. Or did the fans, did he get sucked into like, we've got to attack where Arsenal were at home in the first game? It went toe-to-toe with the European champions and it didn't look good for them.
Well, if he did, he's naive. If he didn't, his tactical understanding is wrong. When I talk about the Martinelli v. Lukaku and other areas of the pitch, you're telling me the same with all the other players missing. So why does he think with all those players missing he can go toe-to-toe? It makes no sense. What I want to come to another point in that, and this is because I don't want Arteta to be blameless because he has a bit of these things where we give him that sort of out because he's young, because he's new, because these other players not available. Graham Potter coaches a Brighton team that has less talent than Arsenal. Graham Potter's team react to things in the game. Graham Potter's team are well set up, know what they're doing with the ball as well as without the ball. Now, that's a coach influencing a group of players who are not as talented as the Arsenal team that played today without Lacazette, without Aubameyang. So I'm not giving him the out that, oh, it's just those big players aren't there and that didn't happen. Because coaches can affect players. Thomas Tuchel took the same similar group of players that Frank Lampard had, minus one or two additions that have come in the window, and made them different players because they've been coached. Mikel Arteta has to get back to being a coach. We hear all good things about Pep. We hear good things behind the scenes. That today didn't look like a coach. His team are coached to know when things were going wrong, what do we need to do?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And I think that was the takeaway from me and from you and from everybody of Graham and Lee Dixon in commentary. Mm. You're like, wow, like this is going to continue to happen where Reece James is like that. Oh, yeah, I'm kind of open over here all the time. Mm. So that was a shocking part of it today. Just before we move on to Chelsea, Rob, and I'll say what I think on it. I hope there isn't extreme pressure on the manager right now, Rob. And we know they've got Man City next. But I hope it's not like game to game. Oh, he's going to, if he loses that, which is likely.
Well,
I hope
social, he's under pressure, social media is going to at least drive that. Because if it isn't Arsenal fans, it's other fans who are not Arsenal, you know, putting it out there. So that's kind of part of what he's going to have to live when he has to get a thick skin to get through that. I'm with you. I want to see Mendes season, at least go through a season. I want to see Thomas Partey and the team fit and playing. Whether Lekonga next to him can be a good partner.
I thought Lekonga looked really good, mate.
Yeah, he showed some moments, didn't he? Showed a few moments.
Gets on the ball. He's brave. He wants it. He's good in possession. I like him.
Is there an option to put Tierney as a third centre-back and Tavares as it would come on as a wing-back that gives him another option? You know, let's see. You know, let's get Lacazette, Aubameyang in the team. Yes. Let's see. I want to see, because I want to know, is Arteta a good coach or not?
With you. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And this time at the end of the season, let's have a review where they are, what they've done, what they developed. Are they stepping forward? If they finish eighth, Rob, again, but we see the steps forward and the players are building down, then you know what? Then we'll look at progression and what's the next thing. But I'm with you. I want to see it through. I think what we do know is the other team in blue got a proper coach, Rob. I heard him again after the game. I thought he was outstanding. He said it was an interesting thing that he said, and I think maybe many Chelsea fans would. He said, first off, we didn't control it quite as I would like, and we got the ball in that. You know, when all Chelsea fans would think, first off, we scored the goals, but he was still critical of the first off, and then to second off, we got a little bit more control. We were a little bit legged because we'd done a lot of work, but we're getting ourselves in shape. And, you know, he said he didn't want to overload Lukaku with too much information this week. He wanted him to play a little bit more natural. We'll get used to him. He'll get used to us. But good signs. You just get the sense that this guy's right on the button.
It's funny, Rob, because I did the lineup for Chelsea today. And, of course, we get the list of players. Mm. And then it's up for us to kind of figure out how they're going to play. And, of course, when you see Reece James on the side and Azpilicueta, it's like, oh, who's going to play right side centre-back and who's going to play wing-back? For the most part, I would say, it's actually been Azpilicueta that played wing-back. But, of course, so I put Azpilicueta as a wing-back and Reece James is the right side centre-back. Right, and game kicks off. Of course, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
And what happens? Reece James has a blinder. He creates and scores a goal. Is it like, it can't be luck, mate. Every decision he's making and these key little factors, Champions League, it was like, well, why is he playing Reece James as centre-back? And everything he's kind of, I guess he saw this coming and that Reece James, there will be a lot of space over there because the team aren't particularly compact. And we'll have Reece there because he's really good going forward, better than Azpilicueta. I mean, everything works out for this guy.
He links things into, doesn't he? So, you know, what's the pace in the wide areas? Does he have to go pace like for like? You know, Azpilicueta's clever. You know, Azpilicueta's brilliant at knowing those distances. What you were talking about when you're getting dragged in, where to be in tight with your three centre-backs, when you can go out. But today, where I think he thinks we're going to dominate the ball, we can get Reece James higher up the pitch, he's delivering to the boxes better. You just get the sense things are thought through, Rob. And his in-game tactical switches and his understanding of how he's playing people and giving a minute, you know, that's where Mikel Arteta needs to get to. That's where Frank Lampard needs to get to, because this guy's come in and shown that's what the progressive, young, current coaches do. And in Lukaku, Rob,
we've got to get to him.
In Big Rom, he's just given him absolutely another dimension. I mean, holds the back, full back, can have it in the feet. He's joining players much better than it was before. His ability to drift, he loves drifting down that right-hand side where if he gets the ball, he can come on his left foot, creates good lane for those two number 10s to break through the middle. He loves the fight. You want to get tight to him, he'll fight. Mm-hmm. He's now clever where he comes off now and then into the space. Just absolutely top, plug in and play, ready to go. Yeah, couldn't have asked for any more, really.
I think, of course, everything was true there, and he dominated the game. Mm-hmm. And I think he said in his interview, like, to assess his own performance. And he said, dominant. Like, yeah, it was. You tell the truth, mate. I think the thing that, you know, we can't spend all podcast on this game, Rob. The only thing I want to put over right now, McClarkin, we'll talk about him. And I think it's obvious he's going to score a lot of goals. Yeah. It's obvious he attacks the ball. It's obvious a lot of these things. I was surprised how Chelsea's attacking game was so different.
Different.
Yeah. It's direct.
It's a different option.
It's an early option. Rolling to his feet, always on, always kind of like shielding the play. He runs in the channels. There's less of the tippy-tippy-tappy-tippy stuff that we saw from Chelsea with all the little midfield players. And that will come in at some point. But they can do so that. Different.
Yeah.
And Havertz and Werner and Pulisic and everybody and Ziyech, how much fun is it going to be, Rob?
They're going to enjoy it, aren't they?
I mean, it's like rolling into Big Rom. I'll run off of him, and he's changed everything.
I guarantee you, this is iced coffee, nothing stronger. I guarantee you. Before I say, shades of Didier Drogba. Of the great man up there for him. What Drogba gave him. You know, they were a football team, but every now and then with Mourinho's team, with Drogba, they could go and bully you, and he could go and ransack you. It looks to me like Lukaku's just giving him that same option.
Yeah.
He's going to be exciting to watch, and I know we'll preview it coming up, I think, in our midweek poly, but Liverpool v Chelsea next week, my friend.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
Romelu will come up against Virgil van Dijk, and we'll see how that all plays out.
Then
we'll get a real test. But yeah, Chelsea fans must be delighted with what they've seen, the way the team has started. And, you know, they've got a serious dude, I think we'd say, in charge.
Yeah, no, they have, and that signing, as everybody I think predicted, Rob. I know you stuck with City for this, and I'm not asking you to change your mind or whatever, but you can see why a lot of people think that, you know. And I know it's a big jump from fourth to first, but like, if they get it going and Lukaku plays the majority of the matches, they're going to score a ton more goals, and they've always been good defensively. Anyway, mate, let's move on. That was a great chat, and it's a fascinating game. Really, really enjoyed that. Next game we want to touch on, Rob, is Wolves. Wolves 0, Spurs 0. Nuno going back to Molyneux.
Spurs 1.
Sorry, what did I say?
Yeah, 0, yeah. Yes. Wolves 0, Spurs 1, yeah.
Yeah, Spurs 1, yeah. Yeah, Harry Kane, was there, was on the bench, came on the field to play.
Yeah.
Two wins out of two for Nuno Espirito Santo at Tottenham, Rob. Same team, wasn't it, that started?
Yeah.
Is he going to get something going here, or is this just honeymoon period for a new manager?
Kane position will influence the answer to that question, Rob. With him and without him, make Spurs different. But I think we're going off two games, so it's very
early. You've got good. Just a bit of gut feeling.
But I think I like the connection that I seem to feel. I like the look. I like the So return to Molyneux for Nuno, who I don't think it was on the greatest terms at the two parted. Goes back, he keeps another clean sheet, he gets a win, he gets Harry on the pitch, he gets Dele Alli scoring a goal, running from deep. He's got a back four that we've seen him make mistakes, but we'll grow together. I think he's great at pulling a group and a squad and a togetherness and a feel. He's finished, you know, seventh twice with his Wolves team. I like the mix, and I like that maybe him not being that big time coach who comes in, who's maybe a little aloof, who's won this and whatever. Maybe he comes with a different tact, a bit of an arm round, a bit of a listen. It's a great opportunity for me. It's a great opportunity for you players. Together, we can do something. I just kind of like the feel and the look of it at the moment, Rob. And Dele Alli could be the bonus player that we've been waiting to see. We haven't seen this since early Poch days, when Poch had this raw young talent that we all went, wow. But Sir Alex Ferguson went and said at one point, Manchester United need to go and get this kid. He could come back to that. A happy Dele Alli, still with his age, could be an absolutely diamond for Spurs.
Totally agree. Great run. Oh, Dele of old, run into the box, but gets fouled by the goalkeeper, steps up and takes it, playing in a little bit of a different role, left side of midfield. I just hope he continues to work hard, Rob, because whether he knows it or not, the talent we know he's got, it's just having the motivation and the desire to work hard every single game. It's a little bit, again, early on, he's back in the side, a different manager, and the fans at Tottenham Stadium were buzzing, and he's happy to be back in the side. He's got to be able to do it week in, week out. Concerns is still, for me, Eric Dier and Davinson Sanchez.
Yeah.
Whilst the midfield three ahead of those two are nice and compact, as Nuno talked about afterwards, generally okay. But Dier did make a big error, and Atroyoy went through and should have scored.
Eric Dier, we still don't know, do we? Eric Dier, question mark. It's still Eric Dier, question mark, Rob.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's at a level as a top four centre-back. So, again, in a strong system with a well-organised midfield in front, they can do well.
Could it be John Stones? Could he come back like Stones did?
I don't think so.
Nuno concentrate his mind and his focus a little bit?
Maybe. Yeah, you've got to give him the opportunity. Going back to your point, Rob, about how it feels, right?
I
tell you what I think, why I think it's a different feeling there, is because of expectations. expectations with probably fourth or fifth manager choice, Harry Kane going out the door. It's going to be a tough season. I just feel that, like, nobody's expecting anything of Spurs. Maybe not too much of Nuno Espirito Santo, but that kind of vibe around, and maybe the players are like, you know what? Nobody expects to do anything. This be a star player once away. I just think that might help initially in terms of togetherness, team spirit, like, let's go and play because nobody expects much from us. I think that's helping them, Rob.
I agree. But what I would say is, Rob, it's a bit like Spurs. Spurs have, every Spurs player has two personalities. The Spurs player below level, Spurs player above level. And we've seen Potts take them to the above level where, all intents and purposes, he should have won the title the year Leicester won it. Nuno has the ability to get those players. He could turn Eric Dier into a new John Stones. He could turn Dele Alli into the attacking midfield player we saw. He can keep Heung-Min Son on form, who delivers you at a good level. Jaffet Tanganga, who had a tough time against Traore today, in fairness. Traore's pace getting a little bit more than Grealish's ability. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I think there's an upside with Nuno that could come, that collectively, you say, maybe with a little less glare on them and a little less expectation, could all of a sudden get them knocking on the top four door.
Yeah. Knock on the door. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Good. You know, we'll know what's happening with Kane and whether they bring some replacement players in. Another player, Rob, I'm going to jump on to my underappreciated performer. And it came in this game, and it comes from a player that I'm pretty sure we've not had before, Steven Bergwijn. Now, I know he's maybe flattered to deceive a little bit and maybe not quite the player that Spurs fans wanted. But just in this game, there's a few moves and a few, like, he's almost like he's been freed. To be fair, he's always played in a role where he's had to get his backside back quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But now with the three guys in midfield for Spurs to do most of that, he's allowed to stay narrow and high and just excel on the counter-attack. A couple of moves, a couple of shots he had, some back heels. I just think he's a little bit underappreciated. And it's early.
And
he hasn't been consistent. But based on today and what he's potentially able to do, you know, I thought he had a strong game.
Little mention, what I would say, and I suppose the challenge, and you'll know it, that he'll have to get, is in a wide attacking players now in modern football, he's going to have to deliver his 10 goals in a season, Rob, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a production.
And is he that guy? Can he be that guy? I don't know if we've seen that from him or not, but certainly with him and Lucas and Sonny up front, that's a mobile front forward, can cause you problems. And, you know, if Kane stays or not, that'll be interesting. Little mention on Wolves and Bruno Lage, who's come in and, you know, tough opponents to start, Leicester and Spurs. Not got anything at, so far, but will be, you know, will be wanting to impress himself on the team. Started with a high press and want to put Spurs under a little bit of pressure. Raul Jimenez, we know the time he's been out, wanted to add a couple of opportunities, didn't quite hit the target. Traore, if he can add some finishing touch to it, can be a difference maker. So, no real worries for Wolves?
No, not at the moment, Rob. We have seen this before with teams where we're like, oh, they look great, they're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And then the more you don't get, then it comes to a different thing. I'm thinking of Sheffield United. But I think the fans have really enjoyed what they've done. Two narrow victories in games where they missed a loads of chances to win games in Leicester, and they had good chances here as well. They gave up some of those. I think listening to Bruno Lage, I kind of like his passion for the game and his kind of, he looks like he's fired up and the team is going to be a little bit more attacking than under Nuno Espirito Santo. But yeah, 0 points after two games, but it doesn't look at all as if fans should be worried about looking over their shoulder. They, of course, right now, it's not even point looking at a table, really. Yeah. No, I think they're going to be fine. And as long as Raul Jimenez stays fit up front, Chai always there, Trincao, the new kid that looks pretty good on the other side. Two boys in midfield. It's the same shape as what all the players are used to. I think they'll be absolutely fine, and the wins won't be far away.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's move it to a club who got it absolutely fine this weekend. Manchester City got beat last weekend against Spurs, first time out. Got beat in the Community Shield the week before, so doom and gloom mongers were out in force. But City get back to business. I think it's usual business, isn't it, against Norwich, yeah, putting five past them. Jack Grealish getting his goal, yeah, the most beautiful thing in the world, but an important goal to kick his team off. And I'm going to throw one right at you here, Robbie Musser, and he was very close to being my underappreciated player.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
Gabriel Jesus, yeah, my friend. Yeah. Gabriel, yeah, Jesus.
He is underappreciated.
Underappreciated. Not played as a centre-forward, and then we were talking about, you know, Kane coming in, there's no Aguero. Doesn't particularly play in a false nine, maybe doesn't take as much control and care of the ball as Pep likes in a false nine. But in a team where no Sterling, no Mahrez, Grealish one side, Jesus the other, Gabriel Jesus was the most dangerous, dominant player Manchester City had in the attacking third.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. Did you hear Pep's interview, Rob? You might have missed it, about him. Mm. He was asked about him after the game because, yeah, he created two goals. He was really, really good. And he couldn't have give more of a glowing, passionate, kind of few words about Jesus. Yeah. Like, he's a credit to his parents. Wow. You know, we don't always play him. Comes off the bench. He gives us his best 10 minutes, whatever. Plays the left side, plays up front, plays the right side. Never moans. He's improved. Gives us everything. He was very, very complimentary about just basically as a pro, yeah, which is kind of interesting because, maybe he's not the best number nine in the world, but I still think he gets a little shortchanged in terms of minutes, particularly as a nine, you know, and I know he can play in different spots. So I thought that was interesting. I want to go back to Jack Grealish, Rob. Jack Grealish's goal. Not a thing of beauty. But let me say this, Robbie Earle, we know how they play City and how they try and get behind defenders. Yeah. It happened many times again. Is it going to be a case now the way that Pep gets into Jack Grealish's head is your talent, your ability, you got to score more goals, mate. You got to score more goals. And even though the goal this weekend came off him, he didn't know much about it. Where is he? He's 4 yards out from goal.
Six-yard box. On the other side. Where you got to be for City. Where Raheem Sterling learned to score goals. Because he didn't do it at Liverpool. No. Where Jesus used to is, where Mahrez is. And as you say, I've always said from the start, Jack will make City better, City will make Jack better, and Jack will. And Pep will demand of him and push him and talk about product. And there'll be times when he goes down the other side, Rob, on showing his right onto his left, and he'll cut balls back for whoever's playing right side of the attack to score on the other side. And I think that's important. I think the goal's important. I think wanting to score more goals is important. I think Jack can be just as pleased by a pass and a nutmeg and a dribble. I think he's got to really focus on those, you know, the De Bruyne things where it's assists and goals. Like, they're the two most important things, creating chances for his teammates. But it was an important win. It was important to get a few goals, I think, for City, just to boost a little bit of confidence in the group. It's really interesting you mentioned the Jesus thing, because I didn't hear the interview. But what I have heard, and what I've heard from a couple of people in the game of talking back in England, that they said they've had conversations with Pep. And whether Pep's looked at players, he's never just talked about their ability on the field. He's talked about what they're like in the dressing room, what they're like if they're a sub and they come onto my team. He said he can't have sulkers. He's got to have good people who accept their roles. And it's really interesting that he's saying with Jesus that Jesus may be one of those players. Now, what's really going to be interesting, Rob, is if Harry Kane comes into the building, I can't see where Jesus fits. And I've got to be honest, if I'm Daniel Levy, and I think I might have said it on a podcast before, I want to wring as much money out of Man City as I can, and then I go and give me Gabriel Jesus. I'll have a centre forward because I think in a slightly different system with a slightly different group of players where he could become the main guy, I think there's 15 or 20 goals in him.
But given how Pep kind of appreciates what Jesus does, in an ideal world, love to keep him there. There's another number nine. There's no other nines at the football club where he's, of course, a young kid that's coming through, possibly as a striker. But in an ideal world, that might be what he'd prefer to do. Just in terms of quickly on Harry Kane, Rob, with the, him playing and City winning 5-0, it doesn't influence the clubs in either direction of what
losing last week and winning 5 this week. If that's going to be done, it's going to be done, Rob. I don't think these next two or three results are anything. I think the longer it goes, the less likely it becomes. I don't think it's one of them that you can sort out on that last day.
Why not?
It's got to be.
Isn't City going to just come with one final big to get him?
I don't think it's one conversation, right? You got your 150. Because I think the moment you say that to Daniel Levy, it's gone to 165.
Yeah.
We've got another week. Yeah. We've got another week of what comes along and what doesn't. The longer it goes, the quieter it goes. I just don't think that Daniel Levy's getting it done in a day.
Mm. All right, mate. We'll continue to talk about that. So the other team in Manchester, I don't know, mate. Every weekend there's always a story and there's an overreaction, an underreaction or whatever. Man United, we talked about, was fantastic against Leeds. We did a breakdown of Bruno and Pogba and Greenwood and how great they were. But we've always said, certainly, I've always thought, can they be consistent? Can the key players be consistent? And it's something they did a lot last year, Rob. Of course, we all know, everybody knows, and they went behind many, many times, came back and won. Did it same thing this time at St. Mary's, so go 1-0 behind. Mm. But this time, with a home crowd, to inspire those home players, it's harder. Yeah. It's harder.
Yeah, it's going to be harder.
And the last 5 or 10 minutes of the game, Rob, I'm looking at Man United and, they're not really pushing here. It was kind of even. Is this why I and maybe you and others that are still not sure whether that the manager and this group can win a title?
We're two games in, and they're unbeaten, and they played really well and beat Leeds team and drew with the Southampton at St Mary's. It will be difficult on days because of the crowd, because of Ralph, because of individuals in the team. So, in some respect, it's not the worst result in the world. It's a disappointing draw. But you're right, Rob. It's the expectancy. It's that Liverpool have won a title and have won two games. That Chelsea won a win titles and won two games. That Manchester United have won a great game and then even performance-wise wasn't great today. Manchester United can go from superb to sloppy in 5 minutes. They can look brilliant. Pogba, Bruno, movement, Greenwood, beautiful. And then they can go sloppy, playing out the back, getting caught in possession, not with the right intensity. You look at this Chelsea team and there looks more of a seriousness about the way they go about their business. They're just as missing for Man United. And that's a bit, Rob, and you mentioned it last week, we talked about it on the podcast, didn't I? That Monday feeling, coming in and winning. You've got to do that 30 times. Well, it's now down to 36 opportunities to do it. That's another one gone. And a point, you'll take a point and you'll take the Pogba assist and you'll take the Greenwood goal. That are good things. That in some areas of the pitch, things are happening. But there's still that sloppiness. There's still that. Manchester United, for me, Rob, have got to build back that invincibility where it's United today.
Where's it come from? I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to try and lead you to it.
To the manager or to the players?
Yeah, the manager. Now, I'll say this. I said to Tim Howard in the studio, I don't think I said it on air, actually. There was sloppiness in the first half defensively, right? Yeah. a few moments of defenders giving the ball away a bit. You know, I thought even Bruno was a little. Yeah. I mean, some people say it was a foul. I don't think so. I think he was a little bit too casual on the ball. At half time, at Man United of old, with Sir Alex Ferguson in charge, he hammers the team. He fixes that sloppiness at half time, Rob. And I think that's what I'm talking about, where I'm wanting a manager to demand focus through being a scary guy, somebody don't want to upset, having the passion, having that drive.
I hear you. Okay, go on, finish.
It could have been nipped in the bud. It could have been nipped in the bud at half time, and it was they continued to be sloppy in the second half and could have lost the game.
Okay.
It could have manager done more about it.
I hear your point. Where I would disagree is that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer isn't that Sir Alex Ferguson.
Tougher. There's got to be a fear factor about it.
He's got to be tougher and he's got to have a fear factor. But he ain't Sir Alex Ferguson. He's got to do it Ollie's way. And let's not forget. They were 2-0 down last year at Southampton and come back to win 3-2. So you can argue he did it last year. So it's in him. And I get that you've got to do it in a different way. But Pochettino isn't Sir Alex Ferguson, but could drive people in a certain way. Klopp isn't Sir Alex Ferguson, but drives. Pep does it in a different way. Ollie's got to find his way. Well,
What's his way going to be then?
Well, in the dressing room, I don't know what dressing room guy he is, but sometimes you've got to drag somebody off. Somebody off at half time and go, yeah, we're doing okay, but Bruno, today's not your day.
Well, that's not acceptable. Off you come.
And everybody goes, wow. Or you do it with a system, or you do it with the way you think, or you say to them after the game, that one good enough, no days off this week, or whatever. I don't know. The game's different than what we say. But what I'm saying is, not everybody. So Alex Ferguson was built into what he, this great manager, because of who he is, and he lived to his personality. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has got to find his personality with that group. And you're right, what is the thing that triggers a change at half time?
You said, Rob, about 3 minutes ago, Thomas Tuchel, how he demands things, and that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you'd see him on the side getting. We've seen him getting fired up and angry and screaming at his teammates to tune in, to focus. And
Hudson-Odoi? Was it Hudson-Odoi? Put him on, right. Took him off.
Right.
That kind of thing gets you attention.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So I'm agreeing that Ollie can do that, but we've got to stop thinking that Ollie's Sir Alex. He isn't. Ollie's got to be Ollie. Ollie's got to take this group and drive them in the way that he can. And I don't know what that way is. Like, we don't know the players. What are their buttons? But you say, but we know the things as professionals. We know what happens in the dressing room. He's got to start to know what buttons to push to get the kind of reaction.
Consistency, Rob. And the same thing happened again. You said it. They weren't behind a lot last year. Well, let's stop doing that. That's not kind of good. That's not a good habit to get into. And it happened again. And listen, it's a good squad of players, and the manager deserves credit for bringing in some really talented players, for persuading big-time players to come as well. It looks good. It's just, and they matched an unbeaten record of Arsenal, which is well done.
Yeah, 27 away games. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Not losing.
I think the players, Rob, and I made this point to you, I think, last week, and I heard again some people. That group of players have got to start a mobile. I know the manager drives it, and I know he's in charge, and ultimately it will be Ollie who wins the title or Ollie doesn't. But sometimes out there, Rob, when you're in that group, when you've played good teams, they don't half know themselves. They get onto that centre-half who's been sloppy and hammering till he dare make another mistake.
Right.
I've seen Roy Keane shouting at players when we play Man United. Man United players have looked like they've had tears in their eyes. And I won't name them for the one of having to embarrass them. I've seen big-time players, because Roy Keane's jumped down their throat and gone, like, we can lose a game. Man United have got to get that as a group as well, Rob. I totally agree the manager's got to do more, but that group of players have got to want it as well. That group of players have got to rip each other's throat out if they need to go and win a title.
Great result for Southampton Football Club, by the way, Robbie Earl.
Yeah.
And a different look side at the moment. There's experienced players that are not in the team at the moment for some of the younger guys that they've got. You know, I fear for Southampton a little bit this season, but I tell you, that's St Mary's.
Ralphie,
you know, there's a good atmosphere there.
Ralphie's got his waistcoat on. He looked a bit funny in his attire with his white shoes on. Don't you not, Ralphie. And I tell you what, I'm going to go for my underappreciated player of the week, Mr. Musto. Tino Livramento.
A new fullback, a newbie from Chelsea.
Signed on loan from Chelsea, I think £5 million, so somewhere around $7-8 million. Has been looked a little look up, been to all the youth England youth ranks. Chelsea kids came into the club at 9 years of age, kind of came from there not far from where I used to live back in England. Has been there all his life. Typical bit of Chelsea business, developed him to a level, Rob. Hmm. Probably not quite going to be ready for their first team. Sold him to Southampton, put a buyback clause in there. So somewhere around 35 million to 40 buyback clause. So it's almost like, go and give us a bit of money, go and have him, give him Premier League football, let him see if he proves himself. If he becomes a top class, yeah, we get him back. Or even if he becomes less than top class, we get him back, we sell him, we make some money. I mean, when we talk about business and sometimes what Arsenal do and what Chelsea do, Chelsea have got it absolutely nailed down. But I just thought his performance, Rob, his maturity, he's very... what I think is a Ralph type of player. When we've seen Walker Peters come in and do a similar job, Tarik Lamptey's another Chelsea kid who went to Brighton and done a similar thing. I enjoy to see these young players who move from big clubs, get a chance to play in the first team and develop their career over the next 3 or 4 years and see where they can get to. So I just thought it was a nice one to give him a mention. Gino Livramento, let's look how his season goes with Southampton.
Liverpool 2, Burnley 0. Yes. Diogo Jota, again, next game, scores a goal, another header. Kind of quite shocking how many headers he scores for not a big tall guy at all.
Yeah.
Sadio Mane got close, and finally got his goal in the second half with a clever little assisting ball from Trent Alexander-Arnold. Mm. A couple of things that I want to mention, Rob, but you go first on what you thought about Liverpool.
I think Liverpool with a full house at Anfield makes a difference, Rob.
Yeah.
I think Burnley have beat them twice, haven't they? I think in lockdown, nobody in Anfield and just creates a different mood. It feels like there's a bit of a buzz back to Liverpool Football Club. Harvey Elliott getting his Premier League start. Virgil van Dijk and Matic make them better, condense the play, look good, look fit, look sharp. Van Dijk plays the pass, Rob. I think it's something that's underappreciated. Van Dijk's ability to start play off with the pass out to Elliott that gets a second goal, I think it's important. Jordan Henderson back in the team, Rob, was excellent in a 4-4-2 where they were quite rigid. Burnley found nice spots where I thought he dictated the play, nice responsibility. He's the guy that I'm talking about, what I want Man United to have. Somebody just miscontrols or gets a bit sloppy. Jordan Henderson gets into the face and gets him back up again. And a point that wasn't lost on me, I think when you've got the likes of Van Dijk and Matip and even Gomez, when those fullbacks go forward, now Trent goes and helps for the Mane goal and Tsimikas for the second goal, because you've got centre-backs, Rob, who will go one-on-one, who can handle what's going to come out if it's emergency situation. And I think those fullbacks can go, and it'll be Robbo probably once he's fit. And I think we'll see more of the old Liverpool than last season with those centre-backs gone and fullbacks kind of not knowing when to go and being a little bit nervous. I think we saw a different attack. And as we know, Liverpool's fullbacks create as much as their midfield players.
Yeah, I think when you think of Norwich as their first game, Rob, and Burnley as their second game, it's a nice gentle start. It's a nice gentle start for Virgil van Dijk, who I thought looked comfortable, classy, you know. And Joel Matip, by the way, is started the season really well as well. Wow. So, of course, like, we knew they were going to make a big difference. And I thought they were excellent. Harvey Elliott, Robbie Earle, in terms of Liverpool's kind of critics, maybe the squad's not that deep, and if they get a few injuries, it's not as good as others. I mean, he obviously went out on loan last season, did a really good job. Yeah. He's back into the team, and I wasn't sure whether he was going to play wide or whether he's going to play in the one of the little number eights in the three. Yeah. And he did that. He played the right side of Jordan Henderson. I mean, I know Oxlade-Chamberlain played there last time, Rob, but Harvey Elliott looks like a player. I mean, he's always looked like a player.
Yeah.
There's a bit of maturity now. I think he signed when he was so young at the football club, but always the right move to send him on loan. But I just thought he was neat and tidy, reliable on the ball, good energy, gets around the pitch pretty well. That's got to be encouraging when you've got, you know, we also have Curtis Jones to come back into the team as well.
Yeah, you've got Keita, Curtis Jones, we've got Thiago, we've got Fabinho.
Fabinho's will come back in. Yeah,
there's a little bit more depth, as you say, And it just felt a little bit like, and I said one of the things broken with the injuries and all that happened last year, the lockdown and Klopp losing his mother, and there is feels like a little bit of mojo back. And I think, you know, we'll know more after next weekend. Listen, they've got a proper test against a Chelsea team that are flying at the moment, and it's very early days, but those games, as we said, could become really important in the rundown, so we get a chance to see where both are in their standings. But impressive, good day for Liverpool. I thought Burnley were 4-4-2 aggressive. Just wonder, Rob, how and it's kind of leaked out in a couple of managers' press conferences. I just want to get your thought on this. Like, have we gone a bit the other way with the challenges and the physicality? Mm. And one or two, you know, Klopp's had words to say. I think Ollie had a few words to say because of the Bruno losing the ball. And one or two just sort of saying about protecting players and we're going too far. What do you think? Are managers trying to have it a little bit their own way and, you know, want everything in the nice football and stopping people closing down and putting a foot in?
I think it's interesting, mate, and we have seen it, and I think there is a risk that it turns that way because the English referees are a bit literal. You know, they'll go from one thing to another thing pretty quickly, and I think it's a good point. English fans, as we know, love that side of the game.
Yeah, love
the
tackle.
You can get a little bit sucked into as a referee. Ah, nothing wrong with that, and that's good, and the fans cheer, and the play continues. They have got to be a little bit careful of that. I mean, I think, I like the adjustment into this season because I think particularly those soft penalties were so annoying. Mm. When we're breaking down stuff in the studio and we're saying like, well, for me, it's not a penalty, but now it is.
Yeah.
That's obviously gone now for the time being. But I think it's a good point, mate. And I said that Klopp was moaning about it and said we could set the game back 10 years, et cetera, et cetera. So watch this space. It's a good point. Mm. We don't want tackles flying in and people getting hurt. So, of course, like, there's a balance between it, but it's a point well made. It's something that we should all watch for and see how that kind of goes.
I think not least, you know, the Van Dijk challenge with Pickford last season, you know what I mean, changed the course of Liverpool's season and everything else. And you're right. I think there's an adjustment to come, Rob. I think we've gone from last season, any kind of contact to almost now, like anything goes, and let's just find some middle ground where you can make some contact. There can be some physicality, and that's okay. Because I think we've almost got to the stage where, like Bruno today, I think it was almost like anytime you get a contact, you go down. It's like that's a free kick,
and I'm going to get that.
And I think because the referees are saying no now, people are a bit going in arms. But I think there's something between. Listen, you can have a little bit of physicality, but let's not foul. Let's not go over the top. Let's not start injuring people because that hurts not only the team, but it hurts the game. It hurts us all.
Yeah, it's everybody.
Is what we're viewing. So, but good win for Liverpool. 2-2 for them. Good start of the season. Jurgen Klopp, no doubt, will be happy with that. Should we just have a quick couple of other games this weekend? I'll start with Palace Brentford because that one always interests me. Patrick's going to be my sort of go-to look this season at where they are. Apparently, he was a bit happier. Said there was things to work on with a 0-0 at Brentford. I mean, it's a Brentford team that we know are flying, have got a bit of spirit, have come up. New league, good players as well as good manager. Palace sort of got a little bit better into the second half and maybe had one or two chances. Benteke with a header particularly, I thought, should have done better. But I still think there's more to come from Patrick's team. Conor Gallagher, I think, in midfield, Rob, particularly on loan from Chelsea, was excellent for Crystal Palace. Yeah. Really gave him a spark and a bit of life. Elise, they tell me, is a good player. And when Eze gets back as well, you know, get Will firing, I think that, you know, hopefully good times ahead for Palace.
Yeah, a game I enjoyed, Rob, and of course we always enjoy them as Leeds 2, Everton 2. Back and forth, you know, they go up, they equalise. Really good game of football, I loved it. And a player that very nearly got my underappreciated, Rob's on Everton, and a sneaky good signing in Damari Gray. Now, whether he feels like this is another opportunity at the big time, he's been kind of tossed around a little bit and not really loved at any particular club. He has started the season really, really well, whether it's centrally, whether it's wide, quick. Scores a lovely goal, by the way, out of nothing with his left foot redirection.
He's a talent, though, isn't he, Rob? He's a talent. It's almost like, why is he not done better?
I don't know. I don't know.
It feels like this must be something, mustn't it?
Yeah, that we don't know about. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's not a good trainer, or he's not this, or he doesn't focus, or he messes about with set pieces. You know the ones. He's always somebody who, like, you know, is a bit of a clown. I don't know. He's just, with all that ability, for some reason, it's not really clicked.
Yeah, and you're right. And now maybe under a manager that I'm sure is going to take to him straight away, given how he started, and he's one of his signings in Rafa Benitez, it's just good. Of course, you add in Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison, you know, and the holding players they've got, they're fairly reliable. Defensively, again, Michael Keane, Rob, was a little short on one of the goals that they conceded.
Yeah, worry about him.
Yeah, but I just think Damari Gray, with that Everton team, is somebody that we don't really talk about too much, but he started the season really well. It was a cracking game of football, and Everton, you know, doing okay under Rafa. You know, we know that there's not much wiggle room for him.
In Rafa, we trust.
Yeah, I think he might do okay. I think he might do
In Graham Potter, we trust as well, my friend. Brighton 2, Watford 0. And listen, he can even cut the beard and make it look pretty cool, Graham Potter. He's got great tactics on his chin as well as on his pitch. I mean,
somebody said he looks a little bit like Chuck Norris. I thought it was quite a good shout. There's a little bit of Chuck Norris in him now with the beard.
Chuck tactics because he knows what he's doing. Like himself, really interested in the way he plays, keeps possessing the ball. His team are well drilled. They know what they're doing.
So much width in their play.
With the players. Sean Duffy, by the way. You know, out of the team, was player of the year 2019, then gets disregarded, goes to Celtic, has a bad time in lockdown, doesn't shut the door on him, Robbie Musto, doesn't do what we've seen Arteta do once or twice, close the door like you're done, leaves it open, has a good pre-season, comes in, scores a goal, now back on time, and could be an important part of what Brighton do, especially when you've just sold Ben White for 50 million and you've got a hole in the back line.
Yeah.
The other one that's not sneaky, the other one that blares quality, Yves Bissouma, my friend, he's got 18 months on his contract. I mean, he was all that. He was all action.
Yeah, he looks like a million dollars.
He was Patrick Vieira-like in midfield, mate. Winning things, closing down for the goal, lovely passing, can see a ball, can be a clever little ball with a no eyes, no look pass. I mean, he's got 18 months on his contract. Looks to be enjoying his football. Looks to be enjoying working with Potter. But I'm telling you, destined for big things.
Could play anywhere. Yeah. Could play in any team. Yeah. And I mean any team in the Premier League. I think he's that good. We knew that from last season. He started tremendously well. Very, very good. And just a quick line on him as well, just tactically. Last week I watched the game. Pascal Gross is playing left back in a back four. This game, Pascal Gross is playing right wing back in a three-man. About a coach that's kind of got a couple of systems now grooved.
Yeah, nailed down.
It's impressive. It's impressive. You know, of course, the goals and creating chances off the back of the domination and possession is what they struggle with a little bit. But, you know, so far.
Really interesting point you made, Rob. And I just want to make the point because we'll just then quickly talk about Danny Ings. But he said something. He was asked after about Sean Duffy and he said, you know, I'm really pleased for him. He's come in, he's scored and whatever. And he said, his time away and whatever. He said, my group's moved on, but he's come in and accepted. And he said, one of the things I've learned is to give him more clarity of what his role was. So it's almost like he was saying, maybe I didn't explain what I wanted him to do before.
I can do better.
And he was sort of saying about himself, I've learned to get the best out of him. I need to give him clarity. And I thought that was really quite an important thing for a coach and a manager to say, who obviously enjoys working and developing players.
Talk about players and talking about goals. Talk about goals, Rob. And we saw a cracker. We saw a cracker from a player that looks like potentially one of the signings of the season if he continues. Of course, Danny Ings, we're talking about Aston Villa with a wonderful overhead kick.
Yeah.
We sadly have to worry about his fitness over the course of the season. But apparently he's been away in the summer, Rob, in a Portugal or a Spanish training camp.
Yeah.
Getting really, really, and he looks in great nick. Mm. He scores a wonderful goal today. In the game against Newcastle United.
Yeah.
I mean, a little great surprise.
Business, isn't it?
Guarantees
your goals. And I think it feels like a nice kind of move. Ambitious club, good manager, we'll play football, we'll play different systems, we'll get him in. Yep. I think he'll enjoy being at the football club. He could be a hero, you know what I mean? He can go there. He's not going to get drowned out if he goes to some of the bigger clubs.
Great club, it's a great club.
Yeah, 40,000 if they get it going there. So, yeah, great win. Mm. Let's talking about strikers, my friend. We went to PointsBet Sportsbook, our partners, and wanted just to get a sense of how they see the race for the Golden Boot this time around. And probably no surprise after today's performance. Top of the charts is Romelu Lukaku at +270. He's followed by Mo Salah, who's always in and around it, at +450. Harry Kane, +500. Now, obviously, that might depend where and who he's playing for. Bruno Fernandes is +800. Diogo Jota is +1600. And then we go out to the +2000s of Jamie Vardy, Calvert-Lewin, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Danny Ings, Heung-Min Son. Ryan Sterling's at +2500 with the likes of Mane, Mason Greenwood, Gabriel Jesus, Patrick Bamford, Edison Cavani, and then we go out to the +4000s of Timo Werner, Ivan Toney, Callum Wilson, and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Aubameyang was up there, I mean, not too long ago, he was joint winner of the Golden Boot, but obviously out at +4000, maybe not going to get enough games in for Arsenal. But any thoughts on Lukaku at +270? Is he your favourite? Is Kane good value at +500, even though he hasn't started yet?
Well, I think if you think that Kane's going to move to Manchester City, that's pretty good. +500, of course, we don't know yet, and those odds will change given where he is in September. Is it an outside bet, Rob? And I know that
we've talked about an outside bet, my friend. Don't you?
A little outside, an each way bet, if he can even do an each way bet, but a little outside bet at +2,800 would be Mason Greenwood. Because there's an amount of upside.
So two and two. Yeah. Is he going to get enough games? Is he going to play?
He should play, Rob.
Might Cavani come in? I mean, that's the problem, though. He might get 12 goals in 20 starts, but, you know, somebody else has 38 games.
I guarantee that he would have done a better job than Anthony Martial as a centre forward in today's game. Martial didn't affect the game. I think we looked at the stats at half time. He had 10 touches, the fewest of any player out there. So, listen, he's +2,800. I just think he's 19, you know, and he looks like a different kind of, looks more mature this season, and would be a little outside bet. That's what I'm saying.
I was just looking down the list and I thought, a little sneaky outsider for you, Bobby Musto.
Yeah, who have you got?
Diogo Jota.
Yeah.
+1600. Sneaky plays more games than we all think. Can score from the right, can score from the left, can score from central, can score from deep. He might just play a lot of football this year, you know. He might be the one who plays in the rest morning, the mess for me. Just think of +1600, Diogo Jota might just be good. If you look at his goal ratio, goals per game, he's in pretty good form. And Marcus Rashford would probably be in there, but obviously he's got shoulder injury. Don't know if he's going to get enough games in.
He's not scoring. He's not going to be Golden Boot ever.
No.
He's never going to win a Golden
Boot. What, in a 38-game season, you're saying never. He cannot be Golden Boot?
No, he's not a scorer.
Wash your mouth out, my friend. He's got one of those seasons in him, I'm telling you. when you're united, Sir Marcus Rashford, he 25 goals and wins a Golden Boot. Listen, mate, we're going to wrap it up here for that's the end of match week two. Although we've got West Ham and Leicester still to play tomorrow, that should be a great game. Chelsea, Liverpool, Brighton and Spurs hold the top four spots. The moment, all got maximum points at the other end. I know it's just two games to have gone, but Norwich, Arsenal and Newcastle occupy the bottom three spots. So make sure you look out for our next podcast. That's on Thursday, August the 26th. And it's a bit of a special because we hopefully will have had the Champions League draw. So we'll know who the teams will be playing and who will be favourites. We'll maybe go to our friends at PointsBet Sportsbook to see who will be favourites for that. Chelsea, PSG, Manchester City, Liverpool. I mean, there's some big teams in it. Juventus, with or without Ronaldo. So we'll see how that one goes and we'll talk about any transfer targets and if Harry Kane's any closer to leaving or not. And also preview match week three that sees Man City host Arsenal. And a big one that you have to see, Liverpool versus Chelsea, which is, I think, the Saturday 12:30 on Big NBC. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe. Stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.